Hallelujah. Why don't we thank Him for that victory right now? We worship You, Jesus. We praise You. We thank You for the victory that comes by Your shed blood. We magnify You. We lift You up, O great God. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. Praise God. Praise God. How many have experienced that victory that only Jesus Christ can give through His shed blood? I think we ought to just lift our voices one more time and thank Him for the victory that we have in Him. Lord, we worship You and we praise You. We thank You for the victory that we feel even now in this place. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Give God the glory. Praise God. You can be seated, and it is no wonder to those of us that have been around for a little while that when you give God the glory, He always shows up. When you start praising His name, when you start talking about Him, His presence shows up. And I'm thankful that we have that promise and we have that experience, and we're experiencing even here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We are beginning a new midweek series that will take us over at least the next month. And this series is simply around the topic of the Word. Everybody say the Word. The Word. We understand the importance of the Word, the value of the Word. And so we are going to spend the next few weeks at least walking our way through this series and examining the Word from various and different aspects. I will say, welcome to all of our guests that are here. To any guests that are here, we welcome you. We're glad you're here with us tonight. Our pastor just so happens to be out of town. He's visiting family, and we're very thankful he's getting an opportunity to do that in North Carolina. And they're having a wonderful time. They will be back on Sunday, Lord willing. Pastor will be preaching on Sunday morning for our fall festival. And Brother Reaver and Sister Reaver are also out of town. They are across the pond in Scotland, and so we want to remember them in our prayers that God will give them a wonderful and a successful trip over there. I'm glad you all are here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. It would be it wouldn't be quite the same standing up here teaching to empty seats. I've heard of preachers doing that and teachers doing that. I don't think I've ever done that before, and hope to never have to do that. So I'm glad that you're here. We're going to dive into this tonight. If you, when you came in the door, you should have received a lesson sheet. If you did not get one for whatever reason, lift your hand and the ushers will be happy to bring one to you. And you can follow along with this. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and so I'm going to dive right into this tonight. Our topic for this first lesson of the series is the importance of the Word. The importance of the Word. And we're going to talk about how the Word of God is important to our life and how, what it means to our life and why we need the Word of God in our life. Our key verse is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No doubt that is a verse that you're going to hear time and again as this series goes on in each of these lessons, because it is an admonition not only to those in the New Testament that were hearing and receiving that admonition directly, but it is an admonition to all of us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or understanding and applying, essentially is what that means, to understand and to apply the Word of God to our lives. So in this series, we're not only going to look into the Word of God, but we are going to let the Word of God look into us. We're going to not only read the Word, but if you will, we're going to let the Word read us and look into our hearts and lives. Now, we know that the Scripture is the living Word of God, the Logos, the very voice of God Himself in writing. We believe that the Word of God is literal, that it is inspired, that it is God-breathed. It is the Word of God that is alive and still works today. Aren't you thankful for that? It's alive in our hearts today. It's lived out in our hearts and our lives and the hearts and minds of men and women who follow Him and pattern their lives after His Word. Now, we understand that our world is is faced with enormous problems. Our world is faced with immense problems that they do not have the answers to. Just look at the news in the last few days. And the world is looking for something that will help, something that will give direction, something that will give them answers for what's going on, something that will give them direction how to get out of the trouble that they are personally in or that our world collectively is in. And the question that people are asking is, where do we find this help? People are wondering how we're going to get out of this mess, where we're going to find this help. And our answer is very simple, that all of our answers are in the Word. Our answers for life are found in the Word of God. In fact, I'll take that a step further. There is a deep God desire, I believe, in each of us, in every human being, that can only be satisfied by an experience with Christ, a relationship with Christ, and an understanding of Christ that we get through His Word. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That was Jesus' promise, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I know that I'm probably most here have experienced this, perhaps some have not, and if you have not, you can experience it, this well of living water springing up into everlasting life. But we know that the answers that this world is looking for can be found in the Word of God. It can be found in the Word of God, not in political debates, not in society's programs, not in government programs, not in anything that this world can come up with. If it is not based on the Word of God, it will not work. But I'm thankful for the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives us hope of life, not of temporal life, but of this everlasting life, of an unbelievable everlasting life with Him. We find that in the Word of God. And if we're going to have hope in this life, if we're going to be successful in life, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. We read it to start the to start this lesson study, to show thyself approved. The only way that we can immerse ourselves in this Word is to study it. And so that's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. And I will state the obvious here. We cannot immerse ourselves in the Word fully just simply studying it at church. We don't have enough services in the week. We don't have enough services in the year to immerse yourself in the Word of God. We are daily bombarded by a godless culture. We are daily bombarded by thoughts and philosophies of men. We must daily immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Amen? Now, this first lesson is a simple overview of the Word of God. And this first lesson in this series on the Word, we're going to do a basic introduction of the Bible and talk about the importance of the Word of God. It is going to be at times very simplistic in nature for some, because I know as I look across this room, there are many in here that are students of the Word. There are many in here that have studied the Word for many, many years. And so for you, it will just be a review. It will just be a review, and a review is good every once in a while, isn't it? For you, it will just be a review. But for others, perhaps you'll discover something new that you didn't know about the Word, or maybe you'll realize it's importance in your life that you had not realized before. Now we understand that the Word of God was first spoken, and then it was written. First it was spoken, then it was written. We understand that all the way back in the beginning, God is a speaking God. Since the beginning, God was a speaking God. He speaks to His people. Everybody say, God speaks. Now, you say, that's really a profound statement. God speaks. I told you some of it will be very elementary, but it is a fundamental understanding. If you're going to approach a relationship with God, or you're going to grow in your knowledge of God and grow in the Word, to understand that God speaks. Because there are many in the world that have this view that if there is a God, He is some far distant entity that we can't interact with, or that this God chooses not to interact with us. But since the beginning, God speaks. He communicated with creation even before his written word was given. And then, of course, you can study and learn the fascinating story of how we got the Bible in its present form. And this story started thousands of years ago. During the first 2,500 or so years of man's history, there was no written word. And in that time, God spoke through specific men and women. He used other ways of communication to man, such as nature and dreams and visions and angels and symbolism and all various different ways that he communicated with man during that time. He communicated in many ways, but one of the primary ways that he spoke with them before they had a written word was by virtue of man's own conscience. And can I tell you that he still speaks through our conscience today if we will let him? In fact, I heard somebody say today, I heard a preacher say this morning, a preacher who's preached the gospel many years, he said, I've never heard an audible voice of God, but many times when I'm reading the word of God, God prompts something in my spirit. I just feel a prompting, and I see head nods that you can identify with that. Maybe you've never heard an audible voice of God, but God speaks to us through his word. Now, this would be another topic for another lesson, or really for probably another series about hearing the voice of God. But I'll just add as an addendum to that statement that when God gives you these promptings, those promptings will, if they're from God, they will never violate his written word. God is never going to violate his written word. So if you wonder if it's God, the first place you ought to go is the word of God and find out if it's in line with the word of God. Amen? So he spoke in many ways, and he still speaks in some of those ways today. Then we received the written word. Now, men of old received this written word. Moses received this written word on Mount Sinai. The Lord inscribed a portion of the law on the tablets of stone with his own finger. Aren't you glad we don't have to carry around those big stones tonight to have the word? In fact, it's a whole lot easier. You can carry it around if you've got a smartphone or an iPad or a smart device. You can carry it around. Or how many, just by show of hands, how many have just a good old-fashioned leather-bound Bible with you? Let me see. If you got it with you tonight, wave it. A few of you got it with you tonight? All right. Wow, that's good. About, I'd say half and half probably. Very good. Very good. So obviously we are in a much better place now that we can access the word in many, many different forms. And I'll jump ahead of myself here just to say there really is no reason for not reading the word, because you can find it so many places. You can access it so very easily. So then we read throughout this story of God giving his word, God giving that early law. They were told to put those tables of stone inside of a sacred box, the ark, and then in time, scribes of Israel would very carefully begin to write the words of God, and they would transcribe them and write them on everything from clay to wood and leather, and finally they would be writing them on papyrus or paper. They would be writing them and throughout the Old Testament, as God was giving his written word, there was enforced reading of the word. In fact, it was the law. They had to read the word of God. You can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning with verse number 9. We won't read it here, but it was a way of preserving the law, preserving this word that God had given them. Every Israelite was required to hear someone read all of God's written word or all of his law every 7 years, so that in the course of an average lifetime, one of the Jews would have heard the word of God read in its entirety 10 to 12 times on average. And of course, they weren't just reading it, but they were reading it and they were studying it. And this continual reading of the word, this continual studying of the word, was hiding it deep within their hearts. Long before David ever gave us those words. They were copying this. They were writing it. They were reciting it. They were teaching it. They were learning it. And they were putting this word into their hearts. Then, of course, as time marched on and technology marched on, there was a plan to make sure that every letter would be copied as exact as it could and translated and transliterated as exact as it could. And again, I'm glossing over a lot of this. You could spend a couple of weeks of lessons just on how we got the translation, the English translations, the Bible that we have today. That's not the focus of this lesson, so I'm hurrying through this. We may come back at a later lesson and cover that. But it was copied, it was translated down for generations until the 1450s, when the first Bible was actually completed and printed together. It was the efficiency of the modern, it was modern at that time, printing press that made this process rather easy, and it was able to be done in a very efficient manner, and then more people were able to access the Word of God in their hands. And then, of course, fast forward to today, as I mentioned, on your smart device or on the computer or even at a Bible bookstore on Amazon, you can get many modern translations of the Bible thanks to modern scholarship. Now, I strongly recommend, and again, don't have time to back up each of these statements for the sake of tonight's lesson, but I strongly recommend that your primary translation be either the King James Version or the New King James Version. The King James Version, sometimes called the Authorized Version, or the New King James Version. Now, having said that, if you've been around much on Wednesday nights at all, you know that I read and reference other translations, as does Pastor Williford, as does Brother Reaver. There's nothing wrong with that, but for primary study, and especially if you are brand new in your walk with God and you're trying to understand Scripture, I recommend the people that I teach Bible studies to make sure they have a King James Version of the Bible, someone who's just beginning their study. You can get other translations, but it's important to note that while some other translations may modernize the language and may make it easier to understand, there are instances where they actually change, whether intentionally or unintentionally, I guess could be argued, they actually change the meaning of the verse. So one of the things I recommend doing is getting a couple, if you're wanting to study the Scripture, get a couple of modern translations. Take your pick. There's lots of preferences out there. Take your pick of a couple modern translations, but get the King James Version there, and then you can read the same verse, and it might enlighten its meaning to you. Basically, it was a long road. What many of you know, it was a long road from the spoken word of God in the very beginning, when there was no written word, to the first word, if you will, being written by the finger of God in the rock, to what we have today, having it in print and in various languages and even on our modern devices. Let's talk about a few facts from the word. Or facts about the word, excuse me. First, we understand that it is God-inspired. I mentioned this in the introduction. It is God-inspired. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, just to modernize that, you can't make it mean what you want it to mean. It has its meaning, and it has its set intention by God. For prophecy came not, it didn't come of old time, Scripture saying, by the will of men, but as holy men of God, they were moved on by the Spirit. They were moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote what God was telling them or prompting them to write. So we understand that the Bible is the living Word of God. It is the very Word of God Himself in written form. That we believe it's literal, it's inspired, it's God-breathed. In fact, when you consider that portions of your Bible were written over various ages, and they were written in different countries, and they were written by different men, yet when the writings were all compiled together to make the one book, the Bible, there was not one contradiction. That in and of itself proves to you that they had to be God inspired. You couldn't find three men in the same family, living at the same time, to write a 5-page essay describing some event that happened in the city or in their family, and there not be a contradiction among three men in the same city, in the same time, in the same family. But God inspired His Word. And aren't you thankful for that confidence that we have in the inspired Word of God? The most intellectual of men could not have pulled that off, couldn't have pulled that together, but God inspired His Word. So we see throughout Scripture this phrase, "Thus saith the Lord," because we truly believe that the Lord is speaking over 300 times. Thus saith the Lord. We believe that God is speaking. The bottom line of understanding the Word of God, and as we launch into this series, is understanding that the Bible is God inspired. It's the most popular book of all time. The Bible, God's, one of God's great gifts given to humanity, His Word. The American Bible Society has distributed over 860 million Bibles just in the last couple hundred years. Think about that. The Bible in its completeness is now available in over 230 languages. That's more than there are nations in the world. It's been published in more languages. There's been more copies of it produced than any other book in history. Now, those numbers are even more meaningful when you consider that publishers today say that only a half of 1% of all books published are still in print 7 years later. Think about that. One half of 1% of all books published worldwide, publishers claim, are still in print 7 years later. 80% of all books that are published, and I assume this would include self-publication, any book that is published and in print, 80% approximately of those books are forgotten within 1 year's time. The Bible is over 2,000 years old and is still the bestseller. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? It doesn't matter how old it is or how many people criticize it or how many people come against it. His Word never passes away. And we have that promise in Scripture, Matthew 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The world will come to an end, but His Word will still be standing. That's why I want to stand on His Word. That's why I want to plant my life on His Word. Now, let's talk just a minute about the writing and the arrangement of the Bible. If you have a hard copy of the Bible, you can turn to the table of contents in your Bible and look at what I'm telling you, even as I'm teaching here. The Bible isn't technically one book, but it's a library of books compiled into one volume. The Bible is divided into two testaments, of course, the Old and the New. God's agreement with man about salvation before He came in the flesh as Jesus Christ, that's essentially what you find in the Old Testament. And then God's agreement with man about salvation when Jesus Christ came and shed His blood for our sins is what we commonly refer to and what is referred to as the New Testament. That's an explanation I found in an old Bible study somewhere that we sell at Word of Flame or Pentecostal Publishing House, Brother Blackburn, in an old Bible study to teach to people who don't know anything about the Word of God, that if you just summarize it, the Old Testament is God's agreement, His covenant might be a word we would use, His agreement with man before Christ, and the New Testament is His agreement with man during and after Christ. There's at least 32 writers in Scripture. It covers over 3,600 years of man's history. It's over 1,500 years in writing. Contains 66 books, two divisions, of course. I just mentioned the Old and the New Testament. 39 books in the Old and 27 books in the New. There are 1,189 chapters. This might be some good trivia stuff, Brother Bachman. I don't know. In the Bible, 31,173 verses and over 773,000 words in the Bible. It's all the Word of God. Each testament, of course, is divided into two sections, and or into various sections. Each of the two testaments, excuse me, is divided into various sections. And for the sake of time, I won't go into all of that, but it may, depending what kind of Bible you have, if you have a hard copy, it may break those divisions up for you. The reality is that truth is truth, whether you treasure it or not. It doesn't matter how many people vote against it, how many people come against it. Truth always remains truth. It is God-inspired, and this word that we have is the very word of God. So let's talk about why we need this word in our life. Why is it important to us? Now, there are many, many answers to this question, but I'm going to cover just a few of the answers that we find in Scripture, and I'm going to answer this question with direct statements from Scripture. One reason that we need the Bible, we need the Word in our life, one reason it's important in our life is because we need assurance. It's for assurance. 1 John 5:13 says that ye may know. He said, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the same Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the same of the Son of God, that you may know, or that you may be assured, that you can have assurance in your life. With everything shifting in our world that is shifting, it's good to have assurance in the Word of God. Why do I need His Word in my life? Because His Word is for faith. It gives me faith that you might believe. John 20, verse 30 through 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe. I have the Word so that I might believe. It is for faith. It's that I might believe, that I might have a spiritual life with Him now, an eternal life with Him in time to come. Why do I need the Word of God in my life? I need it for transformation. Because it converts our soul. That's what David said in Psalms. David gives us this unusually powerful insight into what God's Word can do in the life of an individual. Look at this in Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now you could do a whole lesson just on those two verses right there. But let me just break this down very, very quickly. That verse, it's for transformation. He identified the Word, explained why it can change us, and then explained what it accomplishes in our life. So he said, the law of the Lord, that's the Word, is perfect. How is it perfect? What does it do? It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord in verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is what? It is sure. It makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, he says in the next verse, they are right. They rejoice the heart. Or they bring rejoicing to the heart. Isn't it a good thing living for God? It's a joy living for God. And that's what David's saying here. The statutes of the Lord, they're right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes, or it opens our eyes. Oh, that this world would see the Word of God, because the Word is for transformation. That's why we've got to have the Word in every service. That's why we can't go a day without the Word in our lives, because we need transformation. Modern Christian churches, some of which going away from the Word of God, presenting other things in their services or their gatherings, they're doing other things and taking their focus off the Word of God. If there is no transformation, there can be no salvation, and it is the Word of God that brings transformation in our life. It's the Word of God that makes this happen. We need the Word of God. Why do we need the Word of God? because it is for life. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is the word that gives life. It gives life spiritually, and it gives life eternally. Why do I need the word? The word is for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and in righteousness. It's for doctrine. God has provided doctrine, teaching throughout his word from cover to cover. I was in a Bible study a while back, sitting at a restaurant here nearby, and the person asked me, they said, well, when you say doctrine, where do we find, what books of the Bible do we find doctrine in? We had talked about the various divisions of scripture, the law and the Psalms, and we talked about the divisions of the New Testament and the epistles and all of this. And he said, well, where do you find doctrine? I said, well, you find doctrine from cover to cover. You find doctrine from Genesis to Revelation. It's all throughout the Word of God. Doctrine, it's the Word that teaches us, that instructs us, that directs us, that settles our life in biblical truth. We need doctrine. Scripture is where we get our teaching about God, or our doctrine about God. It's where we get our doctrine about life, spiritual life and natural, practical life. It's where we get our doctrine of salvation. We didn't make up the doctrine of salvation. It's from the Word of God. It's where we get our teaching about relationships. It's where we get our teaching about how we should behave and what morals we should have in our life. It's where we get understanding of what is right and what is wrong. It's where we learn about finances, and it's where we learn about family. All of this doctrine or teaching comes from the Word of God. The main source of teaching or doctrine in any life should be the Word of God. If you want to live a life that's pleasing to Him, your life should be instructed by His Word. You'd be founded on the doctrines of His Word. Why do we need the Word of God? We need it for reproof. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. Everybody say reproof. Another reason we need the Word of God is because it will bring reproof to our life. And perhaps this is why some have shunned the Word of God. Because when you start diving into the Word of God, it will bring reproof to your life. Another word for reproof could be conviction of sin or conviction of wrong. And hopefully when reproof produces conviction, that conviction then produces confession and repentance, and then it produces that transformation that we talked about just a moment ago. It's the Word of God. It's this work of reproving, this reproof that exposes sinful conduct in a life, and it exposes erroneous teaching that some may fall prey to. That's what we need, the Word of God, for reproof, to bring reproof to our life. And you can read that. There's various verses I believe I gave you there in the handout under the heading of reproof, and even under some of these other headings as well that you can look up at a later time. Proverbs 1, 23 through 25, Proverbs 10, 17, Proverbs 15, verses 5, 10, and 32, where we can read about the reproof that we get from Scripture. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, we're charged, Timothy's charged rather, and of course by extension we are as well, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The reality is that men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but they reject the Bible because it contradicts them. It contradicts their life. It contradicts the way that they're living. There are no contradictions in Scripture. But people reject the word when it contradicts their life. I don't know about you, but I thank God for reproof. There's no telling where any of us would be. I can't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. There's no telling where I'd be if it weren't for times that the Word of God, whether by reading the Word and God giving you those promptings, or by hearing the Word preached by pastor or by someone else, that the Word of God worked on my heart and brought reproof. And then that dovetails right into the next thing that the Word of God does for us. It is for correction. Again, 2 Timothy 3, it's the Word of God. It's all given as the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for correction. Correction, or restoration to an upright or a right state. Literally, correction, the improvement of character or the improvement of life. Literally, correction, something that lifts up and that straightens up. Something that brings correction. You know, correction can lift you up. Now, we have to think about that for a minute, because nobody likes being corrected. The reality is, none of us in our flesh, in any level of life, do we enjoy being corrected. But correction that comes through and from the Word of God will lift you up. It won't put you down. It will lift you up, because the suffering and the pain that is caused when we live a life that is outside of the Word of God will only increase. The pain and the suffering will only increase. But when we are allowed to be, we allow the Word to correct our life. We allow the Word to bring correction to us. It lifts us up, because it puts us back in a place of living our life in a way that is pleasing to God. And only when you're living a life that is pleasing to God can you have the blessing and the favor of God in your life. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's going to work out all the time the way you think it ought to work out, but we do know that all things work together for the good of them that love Him, right? We understand that though I may not see the next step, I may not understand what God is doing in this next step, I may not understand what God's doing in any particular situation that we may walk through at any given time, I understand when I allow His Word to correct me, to reprove me, to do all of these things in my life, that it puts me in a place where I can live pleasing to Him and where I can have His peace in my life. I'm thankful that His Word corrects, aren't you? Then finally, His Word is for righteousness. His Word is for righteousness, for instruction in righteousness. Again, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. God's Word schools us in righteousness, literally, for instruction in righteousness. It literally indicates that it schools us, or it matures us in righteousness. That statement, I guess, could harken back to the last series that we did on Wednesday nights and midweeks, Made for More. It schools us. His Word matures us. It is an ongoing process of growing in God and maturing in Him, and His Word instructs us in righteousness. When we go to the Word, we must not only examine the Word, but we must let the Word examine us. The bottom line is, we need the Word. We need the Word. It is the most important book in your library. It's the most important book to your life. It's the most important book in your family's life. We need the Word of God. And this is probably jumping ahead, but the only way to get the Word of God in our life is to read the Word of God, to spend time in the Word of God. It's astounding that a majority of Americans polled, in the most recent poll I could find, a majority of Americans, close to 60% of Americans, say that they have a Bible and they have read it at least occasionally. Now, that's down about 15% from that same poll 20 years earlier. But the percentage of Americans that say that they read the Bible at least once a week is well below 40%. And 12% of all American adults say that they read the Bible throughout the week. 52% say they don't read it at all. According to the Barna Research Group, those who read the Bible regularly, this I found interesting, say that they spend close to an hour, over 50 minutes daily reading the scripture. That's that small percentage that say that they read it regularly. So why aren't people reading the Bible when they have access to the Bible? The number one answer given. When the publishing house, Tyndale House Publishing, did a survey to find out why people aren't reading the Bible when it's more accessible today than it has ever been. A very simple question, why they're not reading the Bible. The number one answer, a super majority answered that they simply do not have time. Well, one of the things pastor says often, one of pastor's phrases is you have time for what you make time for, right? People do what they want to do. I want to read the Word, don't you? I want to make time for reading the Word. In fact, we understand Scripture says that we can get to a place, it lets us know it's possible to get to a place where we recognize our need for His Word more than our necessary food. Has anybody ever accidentally skipped lunch or dinner? Not fasting intentionally, because it's amazing, isn't it? When you're fasting, when you set out to fast that day, I mean, you go a minute past your normal breakfast time, and your stomach's talking to you, and you're thinking, man, I need to eat. Well, I'm so hungry. You get a minute, but you can get caught up in work, and you can go, have anybody ever done that? You can go half a day and realize, oh, I haven't eaten. But you remember pretty soon, and then you go back to it. I would to God that we would get a refreshed love for the Word of God, and that we would understand that we need it more than our necessary food. We need it more than McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell or any other places that would be a whole lot better than those three. We need it more than our next meal, and that we'd go a little bit into our day, and if we had forgotten to read the Word, we'd say, Lord, I've got to get in Your Word. I need Your Word today to give me strength. If you want to fall in love fresh and new with His Word,